Hi, everybody. It's Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving to you all. I'll say that a couple of more times this week as we get through until the big day, and I hope everybody's going to have a safe Thanksgiving. It's going to be smaller, I think, for everybody. It is certainly here, but whatever. Have a good one. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it is Monday, November 23rd, 2020. Got a nice show for you today with my good friends from Fielding International, the Architecture and School Design Group. I've got Jay Littman and Jill Akers Clayton from Fielding International. They've brought along with them another good friend of ours from VS Furniture, the school furniture company, Craig Harvey. And he's their education division manager over at VS Furniture. And the two groups, Fielding and VS, put together a really nice booklet on bringing kids back to school safely, environmentally safe. Excuse me. Just had to clear my throat. Bringing back kids environmentally safe, learning safe, etc. It's a real nice booklet. They'll tell you how to access it, all right, and you can read through it. So I thought I would invite my good friends on here to talk about it, and we'll be doing that through today's show. And we're going to archive today's show over at ace-ed.org. That is our home website of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Go over there. Big news, the brand new issue of Equity and Access is up on site. Forgot to mention. Big day. We finally got it up there. Good job, Maya Appleby, our partner in all this. Okay, the issue is beautiful, and what makes it great, we have our Champions of Equity issue, and we have selected 8 people, and we're going to make this a continuing section, far fewer in upcoming issues. Okay, 8 people who have really stood out, okay, as Champions of Equity for school children nationwide, and one of them is my guest today. I will tell you which one it is, and she will have to just wait until I tell her which one it is. Okay, but it's the Champions of Equity issue over at ace-ed.org, Equity and Access Magazine. Okay, you're going to love it over there. Please join our consortium. It's free to educators. Go over to ace-ed.org. And by the way, we tweeted at You Talk Radio and also at Access to Equity ED. Without further ado, I have 2 guys and a woman here. By coincidence, we have a Champion of Equity, and the winner is the Rose Among the Thorns, Jill Akers Clayton. Congratulations, Jill.
Thank you, Larry. We are so grateful. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of such an amazing group of educators.
Oh, how sweet of you. And we're so proud that you are one of our Champions of Equity, and you'll see all the rest of them in the issue. I will send it to you today. It just came out today. Pretty cool, huh?
That's awesome.
Yeah, you're awesome, okay? And for all her colleague from Fielding International, the one and only Jay Littman. Jay?
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
No one deserves it, buddy.
Better than Jill, let me tell you.
Say that again, please.
Nobody deserves that award any better than Jill. She's worked so hard through this entire pandemic to try to make sense of things.
Yeah, she did it. She and you are doing a great job, okay? She deserves the award, and Fielding got it. Now, what can I tell you? It's just great stuff, okay? Welcome, my old buddy. Okay, it's good to have you here. Fellow Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, the Eagles lost yesterday. It was a terrible game.
Hey. They traded the wrong people. What can I tell you?
What can I tell you? We'll talk about that some other day. Craig, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Craig, how you doing?
Be here. I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
My New England Patriots lost yesterday. I think they lost their opportunity for possibly making it in a Hail Mary to the playoffs, but it is what it is. So,
Craig, let me make a point. I live in Maine. I'm a big Patriots fan, okay?
Yep.
And I admire your optimism. Okay, that they, quote, had a chance to make the playoffs.
Well, when you got Bill as a coach, you know, there's always a chance.
Not this year.
That's true.
Not this year.
No, not
this year. We can talk about that. I'm a Patriots fan, but we have to face reality, my friend. We have to face reality.
That's true.
Greg, it's great. How come you're a fan? Where are you located?
I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where VS is headquartered. But I grew up in Massachusetts and went to Northeastern. So still a Boston fan for all sports.
Cool. Okay. Very, very good. That's what that explains that. When I was trying to figure out why you weren't a Carolina Panthers fan, because Cam Newton. See the connection? You see the connection?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go from there. I want to get to Jill. Jill, the new booklet. Can you tell people how to access the booklet? Okay. And let me just say, you guys created a 40-page manual titled "Sustaining Student Learning and Success: A Holistic COVID-19 Response Strategy." How can people access that? I'm going to get that there right off the bat.
People can go to the Fielding International website, fieldinginternational.com, and right from our homepage, the first thing that you'll see is a link to get to our issue. And from that issue, you can download the book, share it with your school leaders, share it with principals. You can also do the same thing with our partner, VS America. Go directly to their website, and you'll see a link to open up that issue. And you'll find that at Sustaining Student Learning and Success issue, if you want to go directly to there, and just Google it and download it from there.
Okay. Again, go to Fielding International or VS America is the way you have it, right, Greg? VS America?
Yes, VS America.
Yep, that is correct.
VS America, both.com.
VS America, Inc. Yep.
Thank you. Is that right, Craig? VS America, Inc.?
It's just,
website?
For our website, it's just VSAmerica.com.
Yeah, VSAmerica.com or FieldingInternational.com. Okay, and go over there, and you can get the link. And I'm going to put it, if you're listening to the show, I'll have it in the description of the show here for you. Okay, so, when the podcast opens up, it has a little description with it. It'll be there, but I wanted to make sure we talked about that. Okay, well, let's see. I'll start with Jay here. Jay, what made you guys decide to do this? It's a big deal, 40-page booklet. What's going on?
It is. A lot of passion in that, too. Well,
yeah,
in the beginning.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, to get that kind of work
Thank
out.
You.
But, yeah, originally, everybody didn't know what was going on. And if you had said to us a year ago, something is going to happen in the world where every single school is going to shut down for exactly the same reason, what would it be? I don't think anybody could have imagined this. And, in fact, since we do work all over the world, it all happened at the same time in the same week. The week of March 10th, every single school in the world shut down. It was horrifying. And then, of course, the CDC came out because everyone was saying, well, what is it? How is this virus transmitted? Can we open up schools again? When can we open up schools? And the CDC puts out a series of protocols. And, a lot of them are based on health. But one of them was based on taking apart all the schoolwork that all of us have done over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
And basically pulling all the equity and access out of the school back to the 1950s, everyone lined up like the Prussian army in a classroom with plastic shields. And it was horrifying. And we all looked at it saying, this can't be. And then we looked at what educator is telling them that. No educator. Nobody on their committee that knew anything about education. It was all health-related people. And they had a very fuzzy idea of what this stuff was. So fast forward, we said, well, I have a background, a little bit of a background in science. All of us do if you're an architect. And we said, none of what they're saying makes a lot of sense. Droplets, sprays. I said, it's just not computing. So we started doing our own research. And we went to, people like Dr. Chris Gill over at Boston University.
Yep.
He hooked us up with other scientists around, the East Coast. They were all doing research. And, the bottom line by June was very clear. It's not droplets. It's not a spray. It's an aerosol. Very, very different. And, in fact, it's transmitted much the same way tuberculosis is. And that changes the rules of everything. And, in fact, more to our horror, we realize that if all these companies are now hawking these plastic barriers and shields and face masks and everything to wear, and the science was telling us that actually would make it worse for kids going into school. Because the secret is get the air diluted. Get the air clear. So many medical papers came out and said the reason some people get it worse than others, something called viral load. That, if you have an aerosol, you have 10,000 parts per 100,000, and then you increase it by fivefold, the person that's going to be in that cloud is going to be much sicker. because the way you get sick worse is your body is overwhelmed more. And actually, if you have tiny particles and you get it in your system, it's probably not enough to make you succumb to it, but enough to stimulate your actual immune system. So we realized, talking with everyone, and actually Dr. Gill put out an entire a risk-reward framework, a risk management framework that clearly showed kids could play outside, what is the impact on younger people with this. And the conclusion was you can go back to school. You have to wear a mask. It doesn't matter if you're 3 feet apart or 6 feet apart, you have to wear a mask. If you're 10 feet apart, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So then
we
said, well, this seems pretty simple. But the problem, of course, is that most schools are going to follow the CDC. And if you're 3 to 6 feet apart, you can't fit in school anymore. Students couldn't fit in the school. So that's when you started getting the three models, you know, the hybrid model, where you where half the class is half the school is there and every couple of days they switch over, which is how, in fact, everybody did start. But the thing that made us grow to 40 pages is we said, well,
that
the issue here isn't
beautiful,
the health
by the way.
Part.
You did a good job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But the key is, what everybody was forgetting, and we listened to Dr. Christakis out of this lab at in Seattle, where he was finding out bad news about the sort of social emotional impact of A, being out of school, or being back in school but wrapped up in a plastic shield, not good. And we said, well, geez, there's got to be a way that we should start talking about what are the values and the strategies to keep kids, you know, healthy, emotionally stable. Because if they're in school and they're in a straitjacket, how's that going to help you? I mean, everyone's going to still not you know, learn to the best of their abilities. So we looked at the school environment from a social emotional standpoint, and that's really what this book is about. We have a large portion of the book is on the environmental and the science, and a large portion of the book is on the social emotional content, because the challenge is getting back to school in a healthy, sustainable way. And sustainability is not just ecological, it's social and emotional as well. So that's really what drove us to, you know, get this book out. And the more we dug, the more we found out. And just as a side note, the CDC completely ignored the aerosol nature of this until after the Time magazine article came out at the beginning of September. And then they rescinded it. And to date, they just don't want to lose face for some reason and say, okay, it's sometimes it could be a spray, but most of the time it's an aerosol. And so we actually put out a 17-page technical brief that we asked one of our very talented engineering firms to develop, Jeannie Reddy over at Creative Environment Corp in Rhode Island, put together this brilliant piece with her colleagues that all the schools in Rhode Island have been like looking at now and buying. You know, this is going to sound simple. How do you want to protect kids in a classroom? Most schools don't have a sophisticated, you know, HVAC system, which is, again, another thing we have to change going forward.
Yeah.
Open the windows, put on fans, exhaust air out and bring fresh air in, the things that their, like, underpowered HVAC systems usually don't do. Would you believe, remember, in the 90s, there was a movement to not have any operable windows. So you have to them open and put a fake window in. I mean, anything to get the fresh air in. And if you do that, the amount of infection in the schools goes down. So long as everyone's wearing a mask for double and triple protection. In fact, wouldn't you think that would be healthier anyway to have fresh air in the school?
Of course,
and
of course it would, but it gets cold. You know that. You live in Rhode Island. It gets cold.
Right.
You live in North Carolina, it's a little easier. Yeah, Jill lives at, 5,000 feet, right? It's going to get colder.
Right, so Jill will have snow and a couple of mountain lions coming through the window. That'll be the difference. That'll keep the kids on their toes.
Well, and I'm going to make my kids do school outside in their school, so they're going to have to figure out the science of mountain lions and snow at that point.
Right,
and including they'll physically distance with those mountain lions, though. We'll ensure that
It all comes down to telling the truth, and so you don't have any mountain lion. Get it? Mountain lion? Truth? Lion?
Oh, that's a good one, Larry.
Oh, it stinks. It's terrible.
Is.
I don't hear, I don't hear Craig laughing at that.
I think that's, I heard him
chuckling.
I think that was a good one.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate
you know
that.
What,
a fellow
Larry,
Patriots
actually,
fan. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, just I just want to put out there that I've been a Patriots fan since, like, we settled in New England in, like, 1980. So, I mean, I'm Pats all the way. And just so you know, this is, you're not talking about an Eagles fan. I grew up with the Eagles, but the Pats are the team with heart. They've always had heart.
It's the same with me. Like, yesterday was a good day. I could watch both games. Yesterday was a good day. I could watch both games. They were simultaneous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
they both lost. By the way,
they
both lost
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, Cam Newton is a newbie. He'll get better. But you said something really important. Tell the truth. And this is something that didn't happen.
Good point.
This did not happen with the opening and the reopening of school. Everyone's trying really hard. And the bottom line is part two of this book, which we're working on now, is what did we learn from this, and how does this change the way the rules of school design moving forward in fundamental ways? And that's what we're grappling with right now. So maybe you'll have us back in the spring when the second book comes out. It's going to be a real book, by the way. It's going to be a physical book you can pick up and hold. Yeah. Thanks to our
friend.
Cool.
I have to tell you, as I was reading the manual, the 40-page manual, and it said book two, and I actually kept flipping, and I was surprised when it ended at 40. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to continue right there. So I was going to ask you that question: when will the next one come out? So this is really good stuff. But I do have the link up already over where people are listening to this, if they do want to. Jill, I want to go over to you. And actually, Jay, you said, but I want to ask Jill, you said some really important things, obviously. But, you know, you guys are architects. And Craig is a furniture manufacturer. All right? And we got into talking about equity and access. You guys, which is, by the way, the name of our magazine, by coincidence, okay, online over at ace-ed.org, a little plug, the new issue, Champions of Equity. And you also started talking about social-emotional learning. And I'm going to say this again. You guys are architects. Craig is a furniture manufacturer. Jill, how put all this together, Madam Champion of Equity?
Well, Sir, captain of the puns for today. I think I'm fortunate enough to be a 25-year educator. So we actually, between the three of us, this collaboration is really about education as an educator, architects as educators, and furniture designers as educators, and really looking at when we think about social and emotional learning, And equity and asking ourselves and wondering why we haven't invested in our young people's education resources and access more generously before. And so with this question, we have to continue to think about what does equity mean and how do we design spaces that, you know, we have spaces previous to COVID that weren't meeting grade level requirements or just basic human warm, safe, and dry environment.
Thank you.
And during this time, which is really fragile for all of us, how do we come together? And I think that's what brought us in VS America together is how do we actually connect the dots post-pandemic so we can create a real system through partnerships that foster health and wellness, because a lot of our kids we know are going to come back and have now been pushed back into an environment that is physically challenging or damaging and emotionally detrimental to their welfare. So we have to create a system and a space and the physical affordances with furniture, space, and this doesn't mean renovating your school 100%. This means looking at space in a whole new way and creating the basics of warm, safe, and dry and furniture that promotes collaboration inside and outside of what we call the school system. There has to be a new reliance on what the educational system means, and it means we as a nation and as educators have to truly confront and manage some uncomfortable things that we've created, systems that we've created, and take a pause from what we thought was important to what really is important for the success and the survival of our students and our future.
Boy, you got all that right. And, you know, the environment in which you learn means so much. And, and I want to swing over. It just does. And as kids come back, if you're surrounded by plastic barriers, think about that for a second. I mean, we have schools are doing this right now. We don't have to do this, but it's a way to get around this challenge. They're surrounded by three sides, okay, of a plastic barrier. Okay, think of the word barrier, okay, and what the word barrier means. And when we talk about equity and access, okay, it changes everything. If you feel like you're confined, you're confined, and you're confined in everything, okay? It's a very, very difficult time. And what Jay said, and what you just agree with about the social-emotional side, is incredible. And Craig, I want to ask you this, all right? VS, they're a well-known company, high-quality educational furniture. You can plug if you want, go further on this, et cetera. But I have to say something. When you look at the VS furniture, which I am familiar with, all right, and the type of modern school furniture, this is key. Go back to the social-emotional thing. You get a better feel, a more comfortable feel for the school environment. And I want you to talk about how that's thought through and designed, especially now that we know what COVID is, for the future. And also I want to make another point, and Jay and I will laugh about this. Jay went to Northeast High in Philadelphia, which was a new school back 12 million years ago when he and I were in schools. He was going to Northeast. Right. I was going to Overbrook. Overbrook was created, I think William Penn was the first graduate, okay? Then he climbed City Hall, and he's been standing there ever since, all right? My school was really old, and it was old, all right? And you think back on that and the structure of the school, and then you look at today's school and today's classroom. Craig, talk about how furniture has changed and how it's going to be changing perhaps in the future and the cleanliness factor, because you just look at new school furniture, it looks cleaner. Whether it is or not, I have no idea, but it looks cleaner. Talk to me, Craig.
Absolutely, yeah. So essentially, I mean, it comes down to how much, agility and flexibility you want within your own pieces. Do they do multiple things? So I think with VS being a 120-year-old education furniture company, it's pretty amazing. There's actually the largest privately held school furniture museum in Germany at the headquarters. So, which is pretty fascinating. Jay's actually walked through that, spent some time there.
Yep.
And it's great to see how things evolve. But I think that it comes down to also partnering up with the right people. So VS as a manufacturer always things are designed by, you know, furniture designers, architects, industrial designers. So things aren't just kind of coming out overnight. They're pretty well thought out, and sometimes it could take even years to get a certain furniture line out. And so most recently there's a line called Shift Plus that was from David Stubbs that came out, and it's a furniture array that can be used in an unlimited amount of ways, and everything kind of talks to each other. They're all built on the same 60-degree curve. So I think with looking at that kind of a piece, you can have that be any type of pedagogy within a school. So you no longer have to designate that something that we're going to do STEM in this room, or we're going to do English or math in another room. Like, those pieces can be integrated and can be done anywhere, right? And so STEM can be anywhere. And I think seeing what Jill and Jay bring to the table with architecture and also from the education side, it was a natural partnership of like really well thought out designs and systems for education with hopefully really well designed and thought out furniture pieces that can adapt. And I think adaptation is a big thing right now with COVID, is like well, if you had a well thought out building in the first place, like, you know, most notably, if you had one from Peel International, you're more than likely able to handle this from a aerosol perspective because your HVAC system is well thought out and there's optical windows and you can extend the classroom. And the same for the furniture piece. If you have well thought out, you know, furniture, it doesn't have to be VS, it could be whatever, but it, you know, that can be moved around, that you can easily space things out, that you're not stuck with, you know, a chair desk combo that can't move. and it's very linear, it brings you back to the Industrial Revolution. So we want to give students more power and more ability to be, you know, student-centered learning environments. And I think that's what the partnership is hopefully affording people to be able to do.
Yeah, the design plus the furniture equals the finished product. It's that simple. You said something, Craig. I'm going to ask you to explain this. You said they have a 60-degree angle, and you quickly went through that. But I don't even know what that. I know what a 60-degree angle is, but I want to know what that means in terms of school furniture.
So some of the pieces they're built on like a 60-degree radius. So there's, you know, storage pieces, there's individual, like, kind of student desks, there's flippable tables, but everything kind of can pair with each other because it's all built on that same 60-degree kind of curve. So it's basically like a one big puzzle piece of being able to kind of interchange things constantly. And so it's more of a visual, but I think the ultimate thing is with that, you basically have a kit of parts of endless configuration abilities.
Yeah, and I was thinking as you explained that just now, back in the old days when I was in school, correct me if I'm wrong, everything was at a 90-degree angle. So you sat up straight.
That's right?
True. And everything was configured that way. I'm not that good at this. Am I right when I'm saying this?
Well, 90 degrees, you know, the system I'm talking about mostly is like a table and storage systems. So,
yep.
So, you know, basically, you know, with 90 degree, you have squares and triangles, and with squares and triangles, you can make more squares and triangles and rectangles. But with a 60 degree curve situation, you can create Socratic environments where it's more circular. So if you're having group discussion, it's a little bit more conducive to that, but then you can still have the pairs where you can be in fours and twos and sixes and individual, you know, so.
Yeah, now that helps me a great deal because it goes back to the way the furniture and the design of the school needs to reflect, okay, the pedagogy of the school, okay? If it's real strict or if it's going to be really good and cool and right for today's learning. Jill, talk about that for a second. Okay. How the school design and the school learning needs to change, okay, again with the COVID. And some schools were doing this, okay, but the whole idea of this needs to change. And I just want to say, you wrote, Jill, I read it in the brochure, in the manual. It's called A Day in a Life. It's under the planning page, okay, and it's pretty cool, the structure of a day, okay, and how that's changed. Okay, according to school design and the needs of sustainability. Can you talk about that, Jill?
Absolutely. I think that, most schools around the world today are trying to do student-centered learning. They aspire to do that. You can read their school vision statements. They've gone through educational visioning. But actually bringing student-centered learning, which is a very multidimensional learning experience, bringing that to life is actually really challenging in our environments unless we really are intentional and explicit with the kinds of pedagogical practices. And so Alex's day in the life that we designed is really, and it goes back to what Craig said, which I love, that you don't assign certain spaces a function. And you create agile spaces that are flexible enough to allow students agency to choose when they're learning and how they're learning and be able to appropriate the right kinds of furniture within that space. So no space has to be project-based. Project-based learning includes collaborative learning, individual reflection, hands-on STEAM and STEM experiences, maker experiences. So Alex's Day in the Life is really about, is a tool for learning design where teachers can co-create spaces with students that are cohorted so we can reduce and mitigate the risk of interaction between these cohorts to lower the risk of transmission for COVID. But we can also demonstrate educational best practices. There's academic and instructional support included in that. There's workshop models and rotations for students. There's blended learning experiences in Alex's day in the life, where he has students who are engaged in all distance learning, who are working and integrated into the classroom using the basic technology that most schools have today. And so when we think about transitioning from spaces and the ways in which we use that, we can address social and emotional well-being and the classic and contemporary practices of education, and getting rid of all those antiquated practices that were leveraged and held up by the CDC. And by creating spaces and using furniture that's agile, like Craig talked about, Jay and I are allowed and given the honor to design spaces that support project-based learning, the kind of learning that we want and need our students to be doing in this day and age, because if they can't problem solve and seek solutions, they're not able to function for themselves as well as we hope on the way out of school.
And talk to me about secondary versus elementary school.
That's a great point. So in our example with Alex, we have, because we're able to cohort students to one teacher, we can then move spaces around and allocate 2 to 3 spaces in this particular elementary school design. But we can also do that in a traditional school, in middle school and high school, the same way that we would elementary, but we do it in a smaller cohort model of 3 with multiple teachers. So when we think about our full return scenario, we can break down where we have small cohorts of teachers moving through the high school and the middle school spaces. Where we look at teams of teachers working together in an interdisciplinary fashion. So the science of school reopening isn't just about the environmental protocols and practices. It's about the environmental protocols and practices for learning. So we have to elevate the kinds of ways in which we've imagined middle school and high school based on that time clock. You're in this space for 50 minutes. We've taken away all your freedom. Come in, learn this, do that. We have to really think about the science of reopening those spaces as being flexible spaces where kids have the ability to say, I want to choose this to learn this when, and I'm going to find this teacher who's available to me. So we have to start to reimagine what those spaces look like in middle school and high school, but they're such structured systems on everyone's going to learn English, and you have to fit into this rotation because I can make this master schedule work, and I can put a teacher in every single one of these rooms, and not honoring that through the process of COVID, we've learned kids need the social interaction, but they don't need the structure in the same way. And so why are we going to bring them back into a system that says, you get interaction, but it's so structured you actually don't get to interact when you're in the space. Mm-hmm.
Joe, that is an excellent point. And I've said on this show before, human beings do not think like this. I'm going to think 45 minutes about David Copperfield, and then I'm going to stop doing that and think 45 minutes about physics. And then I'm going to stop doing that and think 45 minutes about trigonometry. Okay? That's not the way human beings think.
David Copperfield is a magician, and he uses physics. Sorry.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was saying that's a great connection because David Copperfield is a magician who relies on physics.
I thought you said he was a magician. I thought I heard it as a physician who arrives on civics. And I'm thinking, what is Jill eating for breakfast that caused that sentence to happen? Should I call 911?
That's a good combination of a couple of our politicians you just described in the House.
I could not figure that one out. Thank you, Jill, for that. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hey, Jay, I want to get back to and bring Craig in if you want. And I'm going to talk to him again. But we got about 9 minutes left. Okay, talk to me. Okay, about the environmental factor. And, you know, we were kidding before about mountain lions and all that, but you live in Philly. I live up here in Maine, okay? And even North Carolina, it gets cold, okay? And our cold is different from North Carolina cold, but the kids get chilly, okay? At schools, how do we solve this? Up north, how do we solve the ventilation problem? Or can we? In these old schools.
In the old school. A couple things. One is that if you read the technical brief that Jeannie had put out with us, it turns out that, you know, schools have 6 or 7 different ways of heating and cooling. And of those ways, about 40% of them are safe during COVID. That means the rest were in trouble. So that's one thing to know on the outset, you know, that there's too many recirculating of interior air without any filtration.
Right.
And that's a big problem. There is a filter system protocol called MERV. I forget what the acronym is for, but I know that in most systems that are modern systems that work on what's known as the ASHRAE standards, it's like the American Society of Air Conditioning and Sheet Metal Workers. But they build the standard everyone listens to. The modern standards would require you to have fresh air changes, and the newer standards call for something called the BMS, the building master system. But what the BMS does is it allows you to coordinate even from a computer or laptop all the aspects of the system. So for instance, at Eden Park, it's easy.
In Rhode Island, it's an elementary school in Rhode Island.
Right, in Cranston, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Right, that was our Pathfinder project we had talked about in
right.
the past. They've been fine in terms of air circulation and ventilation because we can purge all the air in the school 2 hours
Jeez.
Before school starts and replace it all, which is typical. But the MERV system is a filter system. And the filter system is like, I think it was MERV 13 or 14 you have to have, which actually will pick up viral particles. So that all being said, not everybody has a school like this. Most don't. So if you take a normal school like you have in Philadelphia that was built in 1952, you and I probably went to, those schools are doing nothing different now than they did in 1952. Except maybe they had the filters changed, but the air system is still suspect. So there's a few things that you can do. The first thing we said before, is you've got to get fresh air into the system. Most of them won't allow fresh air in. You have to open up a window low and open up a window high. And each one of those, you put a low-velocity fan system in.
Wow.
One is exhausting the air at the top of the room. It's exhausting the air
One of these sets per classroom or one per window?
A pair for classrooms. And, like, for instance, Cranston, Rhode Island, we've been working with intimately, went off and bought, like, you know, a freight load of these things to put in all their classrooms and all the schools in the city. And they also bought something called air scrubbers, which will actually have a MERV, the 14 filter in it, to clean the air in the room. So you can put one of these in the room to scrub the air. And again, you want to place it high up in the room because remember, if it's an aerosol, you want the air in the room to be pulled up away from the kids. So think about it for a minute. If everyone's got a plastic barrier and they follow the CDC standards and someone in the room is in fact sick and manages to take off their mask, because remember, if you wear the mask, the person emitting the viral particles, it's stopped by a great deal. And the ones that have the mask on are going to get even less. So they're going to be protected. But there's going to be the situation you have to plan for where the kid comes in and he is sick. No one knows it yet. And he emits a huge viral load into the room. You want that air to go up and be pulled out the upper window. And the lower window has a fan on it that has a preheat system on it. Because remember, it's low velocity.
Okay.
It has coils in it. So at least it's going to bring semi-tempered air in. Everybody wears a sweater. Nobody freezes. That's how you solve the winter situation. And, you know, the problem, of course, Larry, is we don't have a national, you know, effort on this. So there's been nobody that's been called out to build it.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to deal with what you have to deal with. And, you know, our engineers found a place in Massachusetts that they've given out to some people, including Cranston, where they actually can buy these units that have a preheat. They've even tried to get it manufactured. But you need to have some kind of preheat or the kids, of course, are going to freeze.
I hadn't even thought about the preheat thing. Yeah,
you can actually get that. But here's the dangerous part.
Yeah, finish up. I want to ask Craig something before we go. I got about 3 minutes left. Finish up. Let me ask Craig. Want me to ask Craig? Okay, Craig, I want to ask
you
this.
Craig.
Yeah, VS Furniture. how important should schools start to relook at their furniture right now with the COVID?
I think very important, but I think looking at it in the, you know, the for future situations, but also for their current, to look at furniture as being a part of the built environment as well, right? So if you have a, if you're going to invest and have a brand new facility, and or you're going to do a renovation, I mean, you really have to look at the items that you're going to be putting in there as, you know, assets that are in the building that are going to be around for a long time, and are they future-proof, or can they withstand a variety of things that are coming forward, not just having a situation like COVID happen again. So I think it's just really looking at the product from it, or things in general that you're going to put in there as being a part of future-proofing the building, you know, and so
it's a whole,
you know, can it,
it's a whole learning,
can it do a lot of different things? Exactly. So I think it in general, I think it's the more ergonomics and the more flexibility you have, regardless of what you're buying, that's going to give you more opportunities to withstand this kind of a situation again.
These are crazy times, gang. I love having you on. You know that, okay? Craig, I hope you'll come back. Okay, I really
Absolutely.
Do. This is real. Is really a hell of a lot of fun. And it's such important stuff. And the three of you, go thank your team, everybody who worked on this and put it together. I have the link to the manual, which is really terrific, right up here on the website. You'll see it there, okay? Jill's a champion of equity in the new issue of the magazine. Congratulations again, my good friend Jill.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Craig.
Yes, dear. Okay, and Jay, thanks as always, my Philadelphia friend, another Eagles fan, long gone. Okay,
long gone.
Yes, we have moved on. Yes, without question.
My cousins will kill me for saying that, but hey.
No, that's okay. Yeah, you're forgiven, and good luck to the Carolina Panthers. Good luck. I know you wish them well, right? Right, there, Craig.
I do wish them well.
No, you don't.
But it's going to be.
No,
you know, I have. I have young kids, and I'm like,
no,
you know, trying to gear them up for. Hopefully,
yeah.
And they're, you know, they're going to be the Patriots fans still, even though, you know, we're down here. But no, I mean, they got four games. They've won four games, I think, this year. So they're in the same pace as the Patriots right now.
You're so optimistic. You're such an optimistic person. It's really a pleasure to have you on the show. Okay, thank you, all three of you. You're all wonderful. I love you for coming on. Thanks a million. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Larry.
We'll talk soon.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Jill Akers. Bye, guys. Jill Akers Clayton and Jay Littman. Jill's one of our champions of equity in the new issue of the magazine over at ace-ed.org. You'll see the current issue there. Just click through. Read all about her and all the other ones in our Equity and Access Journal. Jay Littman is one of the senior architects over at Fielding International. Jill is a senior learning designer over there. And then from VS Furniture, we have Craig Harvey, Eagles fan, Patriots fan, and now a Panthers fan. All right, that's VSAmerica.com and FieldingInternational.com. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.